Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Good morning, folks. Hope you had a good weekend. It was a wet one for sure. I didn't think it would ever go away. We've got a lineup for you today. Guy Williams, President, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. We'll talk about a number of issues to include the massive fraud in Minneapolis, over 77 people already indicted. We'll talk about the problems with SNAP, otherwise known as food stamps, the explosive growth and some of the fraud and issues there. We'll talk about new rules with charitable giving in 2026. Boeing versus Airbus and auto mileage rules change and how the AP misstates the facts. Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter and digital content producer. The Saints defeat the Tampa Bay Bucks. It was a great game. Really enjoyed watching it. We'll talk to Jeff about that. Sandra Herman, president and CEO of Celebrate Canal Coalition. We'll talk about the re-engineering of Canal Street and what they have on the agenda going into 2026 and the hard work that that organization has been doing. And then Jessica Brandt and Lou Fragoso, who's the president and CEO of Manning Family Children's, will join us for the Radiothon results, and we'll find out exactly how successful we were. So I wanted to talk a little bit about, and I've received a number of texts from people about the immigration protocols and what has been going on here throughout the metropolitan area. And I just wanted to bring forward a couple of facts first and then talk about this New York Times article about why we find ourselves where we are. And the New York Times, not a conservative rag by any stretch of the imagination, and they were mostly silent as it related to the Biden administration policies that ran amok and really have caused what we are dealing with now from an enforcement standpoint. You're going to be really surprised to hear what some of the administration officials under Biden had to say, and the advice that he was given by these individuals that he did not take, and the predictions that they made about what was going to ultimately happen. And it was eerily similar to what we are experiencing. But on average, from 2013 to 2020, going into, and then we were into the pandemic year, so that kind of goes by the wayside. The immigration infrastructure deported around 50,000 folks a month on average. Some years a little more than others, but on average about 50,000 a month, right? So we know that that is a pretty big number of people. And the vast majority of those people that were deported were not for criminal violations, were not. But I'll make the following observation before we get into the New York Times article about why we find ourselves where we are now. If you go and you talk to any Democrat talking head, they seem to all agree now that if you have an illegal alien here in this country that has a criminal record or has a criminal activity in their background, criminal arrest, and otherwise, they don't have any problem with deporting those people. Really? Then why are you not honoring the detainers that are put on individuals in jail, and why are you not turning them over to immigration, if that's okay? If you're as concerned as everyone else, and you would be able to alleviate a lot of the policies and strategies that are going on now in the streets of our country, and the primary reason and impetus for the strategy that's being deployed is because there's no cooperation. So you can't have it, the both cannot be true. If you want this type of strategy and deployment of men and women out on the streets with a more aggressive enforcement strategy, then simply cooperate with the detainers that are put on individuals in the jail. In fact, New York, as reported the other day, released 7,000 illegal alien criminals without notifying ICE just in the year of 2025. So Democrats are misleading, they're deflecting, they're evading, and they're denying what their participation and role is and why we find ourselves at this juncture, at this crossroads, because there's no cooperation. If you don't want this, then do that. Because that's the easiest way to deal with the criminal population and the criminal violators that are in this country illegally, is to cooperate at the jail. At the jail, right there. 6-2 and even. It makes it real easy. So don't be complaining about officers wearing masks, about officers driving around in unmarked vehicles, and they're lying when they said they're not identifying themselves, right? And the reason these people are running is why? They don't want to be captured. They know exactly who these people are. I mean, all of these talking heads and politicians must think we're idiots, that we don't understand exactly what's going on the street. And the real level of hypocrisy is that some of these same practices are deployed by their own police department. I guess it's not a problem to be in undercover vehicles, to be dressed in plain clothes, to hide your identity until you go in and take someone down and you're actually trying to surprise those individuals and then identify yourself and pull out your badges. You know, all of our bulletproof vests and everything have hideaway flaps where we just throw the flap down. It says police and everything else. So you need to look internally first before you start criticizing and misleading the public as to what's actually happening out there as it relates to police tactics, because your own police departments are doing the same damn thing. And you wonder why there's this angst and anxiety in the community at large, is because the media and you and others are playing this thing up to the point of being absolutely ridiculous, and then trying to get people to believe that these individuals are not trained, they're not police officers, they're not law enforcement officers, or anything else. It's a joke. The federal government hired these people to enforce the immigration laws. What would you have them do otherwise? And then when they do, or a local chief or sheriff or whatever cooperates and participates with immigration, then we invite activists and alleged immigration lawyers that go on there and say, oh, well, it's clear that elected official's racist. Why would you even bring somebody on like that? That's where you go when you've got nowhere else to go, when you've got nothing to support the proposition that you're trying to advocate for. Yeah, is it getting clicks? Yeah, great, wonderful. But all of this is rhetoric and dialogue that's being perpetuated by people that simply don't understand that none of what is going on here is going to change much of anything, because these are federal laws that are passed by Congress. And in fact, in a bipartisan bill not too distant in the past, they actually removed the ability of the federal court system in Monday morning quarterbacking what goes on in immigration. That's how strongly this country felt then about what was actually being done. If these folks want something to change, why are you attacking the enforcement arm? The law is there. And what no one's talking about is when we're talking to folks and they say, we have papers, we have this, we have that. Yeah, but you got a deportation order because you got a court hearing that you didn't show up to. You have 60 days to appeal that deportation order that's issued. And if you don't exercise that right in the 60 days, especially when it comes to these asylum cases, because everyone knows you have a BS claim, right? Fear of crime is not the basis for asylum. You've heard me say this a million times. Where's our asylum for a citizen? Where's our asylum? We're worried about providing them that. We don't hear anything. We're not throwing bricks at officers and everything else who've taken down narcotics individuals in an undercover operation, concealing the identity of our officer operatives and such forth. Why? Because it's all about safety. We've tried to make this a humanitarian issue. Well, nobody really knows if it is or it isn't, right? But what we do know, it's a violation of the law. If you don't like it, Congress passed the law. Now let's get to what actually happened under the Biden administration. Great article in the New York Times, How Biden Lost Americans' Faith in Immigration. And what you're going to find in this article is that this very much became a political issue. It wasn't right or wrong. It wasn't about a moral compass. It was about basically pissing off the Latino community and progressives as it related to this issue, and that they could not afford to lose those they thought then, because they were already worried about re-election before they ever took office the first day after Biden was elected. Biden had pledged to treat unauthorized immigrants more humanely than Donald Trump, according to the article. Biden was now the president-elect, and his positions threatened to drastically increase border crossings. Experts advising his transition team warned in a Zoom briefing in the final weeks of 2020, right before he was taken office. According with people with direct knowledge of that briefing, that jump, they said, could provoke a political crisis. Chaos was actually the word. How ironic that the advisors had used in a memo during the campaign. Biden seemed to grasp the risk, but he and his top aides failed to act on those recommendations. And after Mr. Biden became president, migrant encounters doubled, and they kept rising. And new arrivals overwhelmed border stations, border towns, and eventually the interior, because some governors started shipping everybody around the country. And anger over illegal migration, according to the Times, they feel like it helped return Mr. Trump to the presidency. Former Biden administration officials told the Times that Mr. Biden and his circle of confidants, including Ron Klain, chief of staff, Mike Donilon, Jennifer O'Malley Dillon, and Anita Dunn, made two crucial errors. This is their admissions. First, they underestimated the scale of migration that was coming. Second, they failed to appreciate the political reaction to the migration, believing that stronger enforcement would alienate the Latino and progressive voters, and also that a border surge would not be an important issue to most voters. It's clear that they looked at this through the lens of political implications of what stronger enforcement of the law would be. Can you believe that? How many times have you heard me say that is not what you want your elected law enforcement leaders to worry about? You don't want me or anybody else that was in that position to decide, oh, I'm not enforcing that law. How many times have we seen this about constitutional sheriffs relative to gun laws passing? It was never a popular position. This is going on in D.C. every single day. The president and his closest aides, according to the article, treated immigration as a distraction from other issues such as the coronavirus pandemic and the economy. Again, they treated this as a political issue. They were winning on the pandemic. They didn't want to highlight immigration at all because they would take away from their wins in other areas. They lamented that Mr. Biden never articulated a clear vision or pushed his cabinet secretaries to coordinate their efforts on immigration in the way that Mr. Trump had. Biden created new legal pathways for migration to ease pressure at the border, under which more than 1 million people were allowed into the United States, fueling public resistance. They go on to say that their advisors told them at the Times, we had no strategy. They had no goal. According to Scott Shuckert, who joined the administration in 2022 as a senior advisor at Immigration and Customs Enforcement, all they had was wishing the problem would go away and they could focus on the things that they cared about. Mr. Biden's policy advisors sounded the alarm before he even won the election. In August of 2020, several aides wrote a memo cautioning Mr. Biden's inner circle that his promises, coupled with pent-up demand from the Trump years and economic hardship from COVID, could provide a spike in border crossings. A potential surge could create chaos and a humanitarian crisis, overwhelm processing capacities, and imperil the agenda of the new administration, the advisors wrote, according to a copy of the memo viewed by the New York Times. They knew exactly what was going to happen before he even took office. But the political considerations stood in the way of what the right decisions would have been. The memo also from the Biden advisors offered a range of options, including making it easier to quickly reject asylum claims, holding people in reception centers until their cases could be heard, transferring some migrants to other countries, and continuing to make some asylum seekers wait in Mexico while ensuring they had access to shelter. Do all of those kind of sound familiar? Well, they should. They're part of the Trump policy. His Biden's own advisors were saying that these policies made sense in controlling the chaos that was ultimately going to happen at the U.S.-Mexican border. And soon after Biden was sworn in, we know what he did. He narrowed the categories of unauthorized immigrants targeted for arrest. He directed his government to stop building the border wall, which was the centerpiece of Trump's agenda. He suspended Remain in Mexico. He sent draft legislation to Congress to create a citizenship pathway for people in the country illegally. He kept Title 42 in place, remember, during the pandemic years that Trump did, but stopped using it to turn back children who crossed the border alone. The speed of Mr. Biden's actions, they said, according to the officials inside the administration, masked deep disagreements on his team. The presidents and others made a decision that he wasn't going to lose that community. Political implications, political consequences. He never embraced the consequence. And that was said by Roberta Jacobson, the border czar for the first 3 months of the Biden administration. In January, the month Mr. Biden took office, U.S. Border Patrol reported 75,000 and some change encounters with migrants. By March, that number had increased to 169,000. Many arrivals were children jammed into border stations that were not equipped. 40% of the Americans said they were worried about immigration in March of the first year of the Biden administration. One thing for certain about what Biden did is he resisted anything that looked like Mr. Trump's Remain in Mexico policy, and he did not want to send children back across the border. Officials could not agree, And this is according to them. They could not come to an agreement of what options to present. So a lot of the memos that were drafted to be sent to the president, they just died on somebody's desk. Because they knew that he wasn't going to do much of anything if it was going to look anything like any suggestion, recommendation, or implementation of a policy that was done by the Trump administration. What's interesting is they said what did help more than anything in moving the administration in this article was when the Texas governor and others started shipping illegal aliens to the interior of the country. And the interior states started to feel the pressure, the challenges, the overwhelming nature of the number of immigrants that were coming to this country illegally in their own hometown. They became NIMBYs, not in my backyard. They became cave people, citizens against virtually everything that had to deal with immigration. Because now they had to deal with the consequences of a failed and flawed policy by the Biden administration. And then we have the audacity to wonder why we are where we are at the present time. Those numbers increased, and some of the policies that were put in place by the Biden administration in an attempt to turn around the experience in the interior failed and made issues worse. Interestingly, towards the end of his administration, they started deporting a lot of people. Too little, too late. We'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. Last week, Odyssey and the Children's Hospital, Manning's Children's Hospital, we had the Light Up the Season Radiothon for 2025. We were able to enjoy spending 3 days out there visiting with not only patients, their families, physicians, administration, talking about the incredible things that are going on at that facility. And it's one of my favorite shows of the year. You get choked up. You see miracles that are right there in front of you that are going on, and the incredible work and how this team is just so dialed in to taking care of our kids. I mean, you don't have to say anything else, right? And we're joined by Jessica Brandt, chairman of the Ray and Jessica Brandt Family Foundation, and Lou Fragoso, the president and CEO of Manning's Family Children's Hospital. Folks, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Newell. Welcome.
So, Lou, let's start with you real quick. What an incredible opportunity, incredible experience last week, learning about all of the things that you guys are on the leading edge of pediatric care, not only here in the city, but around the country.
Well, thank you, Newell. And I just want to say thank you, you guys, for all being there. What an incredible week last week. The fifth annual Manning Family Children's Light Up the Season Radiothon. Like you said, it is one of my favorite times of the year, and having you guys out is just always such a joy. You do such a great job of sharing the story of the amazing work that happens here, thanks to our physicians and our care teams. But you also said something really important is, you know, we can't do the work that we do without the amazing support of our community. People like Jessica Brandt. Jessica and I were just talking before this, and, you know, she has been one of the biggest champions. She knows what we do here, the important work that we do. We say yes to every child every time, regardless of a family's ability to pay. And we are just so thankful for your listeners, the community support, and people like Jessica Brandt who make it all possible. So just thank you so much for having us on. And it was just an absolute joy. And it was a huge, huge week for us.
Absolutely. So many things going on. Let's go to Jessica. Jessica, you were the presenting sponsor again this year, the Ray and Jessica Brandt Family Foundation. You know my connection to you guys. I've always appreciated the relationship, but really always thought about the role that y'all played in so many different endeavors. And obviously this one at Manning's Children's Hospital has to be top of the list.
Newell, it absolutely is. Everything that this hospital and this family that is involved in this hospital, and by when I say family, I mean the doctors, the nurses, the facilitators, the even down to the people that come in to just mop the floor, they are all family. They love these children. They will do whatever they need to do to help any and every child that is in need. And it's a true commitment. It's not just words. It is a true commitment from every single person there.
You know, when we talk about commitment, Lou, and that Jessica talks about, it's so true. I earlier mentioned being on the cutting edges so much with research and being, you know, really trailblazers on many different fronts. That wouldn't happen but for the engagement of the community and coming together, everyone coming together as an incredible team.
Yeah, you know, well, I mean, you're so right. I mean, if you think about some of the things that just happened even this year, you think about what we're doing in sickle cell. We are one of only a handful of children's hospitals in the entire country now that offers a cure for our kids that have sickle cell disease. And that is so important because, one, we take care of the most kids in the country that have sickle cell disease. It is a horrible disease, a disease as old as time itself. And then now to have a cure for these kids, this disease robs kids of 30 years of life. It causes organ failure, you know, multiple ER visits a year, admissions to the hospital, and to now have hope that they can live a life without pain, have a future, and be able to grow up and enjoy their entire future, graduations, birthdays. I mean, it's just literally, we're not just healing, but we're giving dreams back. And that's what's happening right here at your children's hospital. And all of that is just thanks to the support of our community, supporters like Jessica Brandt, like you, Newell. It's just, it's amazing to see what's happening here. We truly have a treasure in this hospital for our community.
Lou, I was out of town this weekend, so I was unable to ride in the Christmas parade. But although the weather didn't cooperate on Saturday, but I understand it went off on Sunday. Is that correct?
Yes, Newell, you know what? You can't rain on our parade. You know, we just adjusted. It's what we do. And we went to Sunday, and you know what? Ended up being an absolutely gorgeous day. I mean, nobody does parades better than the city of New Orleans. It's like Christmas and Mardi Gras coming together. I walked in the parade with the high-flying balloons, got to see our kiddos, our families, our staff members, the whole community, people coming from around the country for this parade. I think there was about 200,000 people lining the route. And if you think about what's happened, it's only our fourth year doing this parade, and it's already been voted fifth best holiday parade in the country, beating out the Macy's Thanksgiving holiday parade. So just gives you a sense of how much this has grown. What a joy it was to be out there, and just couldn't say more positive things about it. It's absolutely amazing.
Well, Manning's children is used to pivoting, right? You deal with a lot of uncertainty a lot of times, and it seems as though execution pulled it off again.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, what other city in the country could be like, you know what, this parade's not going to work out on Saturday. We're going to shift to Sunday, make it happen in a day. And I think that just also says how much this hospital and this mission, 70-year mission, means to this community is, hey, this is how we kick off the holiday season. This is how we celebrate this amazing mission, the only freestanding comprehensive children's hospital for the great state of Louisiana, caring for our community, caring for our kids, that we pivoted, and it was just an absolute joy yesterday.
So, Lou, obviously the needs are great. And, you know, folks are participating, obviously, during the Christmas season, but there's opportunities to participate in other times of the year. How can folks get involved at Children's Hospital?
Yeah, absolutely, Newell. I mean, the easiest way is just go to our website, manningchildrens.org. Right there, it makes it easy for you to give. Every dollar goes to the mission. Every dollar goes to save a life, to change a life. You know, kiddos like our little NICU graduate, Margot, who was there to light up the season. You know, thanks to Mrs. Jessica Brandt there sponsoring that whole radiothon. We had little Margot there to flip the switch. She's 2 years old, and she's one of our NICU graduates. Spent 9 months in that NICU. She came to us at just 1 pound, and she left 9 months later as a 14-pound chunky little baby, now thriving, all thanks to the amazing physicians and care teams there. So that's the kind of stuff we celebrate here. It's the kind of things we do. So it was just a joy.
Yeah, you know, Lou, and I know, Jessica, you've had the opportunity to talk to some of the parents of the kids. I mean, and they tell the story. I got choked up during one of the stories. You can't help but get choked up. And, you know, just so many different things that fall into place in the recovery. And you see the child in front of you, you hear the story, and then the child walks up and it's like, oh, my God, you know, it's just not what you expect. And the child is just thriving. And no one at first thought that would ever happen. But here it is, front and center. And, you know, it's just incredible to have that experience. And I'm sure, Jessica, you've had that over and over and over again.
Absolutely. Remember, Newell, a year and a half ago, my granddaughter, my second granddaughter that was born under a pound. And because of the miraculous work from the doctors at Children, and even over the doctors go to the Lakeside Hospital also, the miraculous work that they did, my Addie is now a year and a half. She is a little chunk ball, and she is incredible. She's been through many surgeries. She's been through eye surgery, heart surgery. She was on a lung intubated for 6 months. But these doctors saved her life, and they're incredible. They are absolutely incredible. And I look around at some of the other families that go through the same thing, and you pray morning, noon, and night that your baby survives. But when you're at Children's Hospital, at Manning's Children's Hospital, you know that there's no better care than anywhere in this world than you can get right there.
No doubt. So now's the time we're going to allow you, Jessica Brandt, to do the honors of announcing the grand total of this year's Radiothon. Take it away.
Thank you, New Orleans, because this year we've raised over $172,000 in our three days. That and is $20,000 more than we did last year.
So a 10%, over a 10% increase from last year. So that's absolutely incredible. And, you know, Lou, I know every little bit helps, and we had donors from $5 to $5, $10, $15,000. I mean, people stepping up. It was really quite an event and really excited. I mean, economic times are tough out there. So it even means more to me because I recognize and realize what families are going through. But we've always punched above our weight in this city in giving.
You know, you're absolutely right, Newell. I mean, I think the community realizes the amazing work that happens, like Jessica was talking about. I mean, what these doctors, what these care teams do, the problems that impact the children of our community become our problems. And your children's hospital is running towards those problems, saving lives, changing lives. Every dollar that you give goes to that mission. And again, I just can't say thank you enough to our community, to your listeners, to Jessica Brandt, to you, Newell, for what you guys have done, sharing our story, giving. You allow this magical work to happen. You give lives back, futures back. And I'm just so proud to be a part of this organization, so proud of our physicians and our care teams and our community. Thank you so much.
And I think we have one other revenue source yet to be counted, and that's the benefits from the Trans-Siberian Orchestra that's still out there, and that will add to this as well because they have been very gracious too.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's coming up. So they are contributing $1 from every ticket sale, so that is going to go to the mission as well. So that's always such an amazing event. So I encourage everybody to go out and buy a ticket, go out to it. My wife and I, when we got married, we actually got married right after Christmas. We walked down the aisle to the Trans-Siberian Orchestra music. So super excited about that.
You always do it in a big way, Lou. What can I say, huh?
Yeah.
Lou, who did this run, folks, you got to go look that up. What is it called again, Lou?
The Leadville 100 Trail Run. We ran 100 miles across the Rockies, and every mile carried the name of one of our kiddos. 100 miles, 100 kids, one mission. It was absolutely amazing.
Folks, you gotta look that up on the website to see just how torturous that run truly is. I've been to Leadville. You can hardly breathe just crossing the street there, much less running. And congratulations to all of y'all. Ms. Brandt, thank you so much for your leadership with the Ray and Jessica Brandt Family Foundation and all that y'all bring to Children's Hospital. And obviously, Lou, congratulations to you and the incredible team at Manning's Children's Hospital. And it looked like Archie had a good time with our sports guys the afternoon of Wednesday. I was watching some of it. They were having a blast.
That was great. Well, thank you guys so much. Jessica, we love you. Newell, thank you so much for always being one of our biggest fans.
It is our pleasure. Have a happy holiday, both of y'all. We will be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Lines.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Stay with us. So, folks, I got a lot of texts about my monologue this morning relative to why we find ourselves in the position that we find ourselves at this point in time. That was a little redundant, but I apologize. But to put things in context, by the halfway mark of the Biden administration, Border Patrol had reported about 2.2 million apprehensions along the Mexican border the previous year. And that was up about 400,000 from Mr. Biden's first year that he was elected. So, and what was happening is these cases, and they were released into the interior of the country and given court dates. And cases to be resolved in immigration courts were greater than 6 million cases. So what happened is they had court dates. They missed them. And as a result, they were deportation orders that were issued. No one's reporting on this. No one. You have an order from an immigration court that they are to be deported. But no one talks about this. We just talk about the fact, well, we've got all these people that have been arrested that don't have any criminal background. That's right, because there are other provisions of immigration law that comes into play that no one wants to talk about. And you can blame one administration and one administration only for this, the Biden administration. We would not be in this predicament that we find ourselves in today, but for the lax approach and the political considerations that were made by that administration. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga, here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.